I mentioned earlier that this weekend we are celebrating our 50th year on the Hill. And last night I shared that the very last song sung by the congregation at its old location was "Make Me a Blessing." It was the desire of this church 50 years ago, God, put us somewhere where we can be a blessing to this community. But here's the thing, we could not do that alone. In fact, we could not financially afford to come up onto the hill. And so our denomination, the Evangelical Covenant Church, came alongside and footed the bill for us to get up on the hill until we could afford and start paying it back. And so it is very appropriate on this weekend that we are celebrating 50 years on the hill that we have somebody from the Evangelical Covenant Church to preach this morning. Paul Wilson is the superintendent of our conference, the Pacific Southwest Conference. And some of you might remember him because he was here in January of last year for my installation. And so we are very excited to have Paul Wilson back to bring God's words. Would you please welcome Paul Wilson?
Well, it is a lot of fun to be here. I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember if I've ever preached in the round before, but I just want to give you a little warning if you're behind me. I used to be a middle school teacher, and I raised three boys. What this means is I have eyes in the back of my head, and if you're nodding off when I'm looking, I can see you. I know what's going on. In my role as superintendent, I have the honor of serving and providing leadership for our 154 churches in the Pacific Southwest Conference of the Evangelical Covenant Church. And so I'm with a different congregation each week, and it is just an honor to be here. And it's really fun seeing you. If you think God has blessed you with the calling of the pastoral couple, give God thanks here right now, because it's wonderful. I was trying to figure out what looked different. I mean, it was the seating, but also, it doesn't take much to please me. I like this back here. There's these whatever these are, these pieces, pallets. Pallets. I knew it was a Greek word, something you had to... We're going to see how this goes. I wrote the message on the way up here, and seeking to wanting to bring something from the heart, something that might be helpful as you think about the beginning of the next 50 years. And so we'll generalize this to the congregation, but I want you individually to be thinking about your own life. And so, here's the big overarching question. Who has God created you to be? And I want you to be interacting with the Spirit of God while I'm speaking. Who has God created you to be? And we're going to look at one verse, and that's Ephesians 2:10. And it talks about you and me. Here's Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship. That means God is crafting us, created in Christ Jesus. And when we trust Jesus, something happens. The life of God comes into our lives. When we live trusting Him, when we give in to the greatest thing that can ever happen to a person, and that is to give in to that desire of God that we be His dearly loved child, created in Christ Jesus for what purpose? And I remind you, as you take this first step representing a community in the next 50 years, what purpose? To do good works. To do good works, not to sit back, not just to find as much pleasure in life as possible, but to do good works. And the final clause says a whole lot about God's interest in you and the activity of God in your life, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. So let me just say a couple of things, and these are going to be kind of starting points. Then we're just going to focus in on one portion of this verse. So that he has prepared in advance for us to do. So here's the thing you need to know about you. God has prepared a life for you. God prepares your days. God prepares relationships. It doesn't mean that God causes everything to happen, right? If you, like, let's say part of your life story is that you have experienced painful betrayal. That doesn't mean that God caused that. Maybe you have experienced addiction. Doesn't mean that God caused that. That's not the preparation. But God has prepared a life for you. And part of that preparation is that God is always going to be with you, whatever. But just know, it's not saying too much that you are someone who's been created by God with a destiny. And I'll tell you what causes me to relax at this point. Is I know that the big player in my life is not me, but it's God. And this gives me confidence in going through the days that God has prepared in advance. So I just want to say this to you. This is a starting point. If I could stand up on the top of this sanctuary here and say something to believers, I think the thing I would say is God is far more active than most believers believe. He really, really is. He really is. Jesus in John 5:17 says, my Father, I mean, you want to know what God's doing, how he spends his time? Jesus says, my Father is always at work, even to this day. And I, too, am working. So God has prepared the way in advance for you to go. And I just want to tell you, he is always at work. Always. And for us to mature in understanding who we are, understanding who God is, understanding what life is, as we do, we discern the presence of God, whereby previously we might just run past it and not see it. You can go up into the mountains here with somebody who, doesn't know much about being in the outdoors, and you'll say, what do you see? And they'll say, well, there's a bunch of trees. But then a person who knows more will say, well, you know, that's a pine, that's a spruce. Then they'll break it down, what kind of spruce tree. Then they'll talk about the bark. Then there's this whole world that's going on at the foot of the trees with ferns and plant life and insect life and all the rest. And you get down on your hands and knees, and if you are such a nerd that you'd have a microscope, or you know, and you want to look at little slides. Well, I mean, it's just endless what's there. I want to say that the activity of God is present in every situation in your life. That it is impossible to experience something so terrible that God isn't there. That it's impossible to go to some place where God is not. I've spent a good deal of my time ministering in the Arctic. You know, Jesus said that, you know, he's going to send a spirit and send them to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, friends, I've been there to the uttermost parts of the earth. I've been there. And he is there. He's prepared the way in advance for you to go. Now I'm going to go to the front end. We are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship. Look at those two words, God's workmanship. It makes all the difference how you answer this question. Are you God's? And here's the thing. and most people in church will say yes, and I'm with you. But there is this thing about being gods in the now. Are you gods? Are you gods for this season of life? Or are you waiting until you're out of school? Are you gods in this season of life? Or are you saying, no, I'm too old, and because of my struggles, you know, it's a little different. Are you gods in your marriage? Are you gods in your parenting? Are you gods? So God has prepared the way in advance. This question of are you gods? I'll tell you that life is too short not to fully trust God and go all the way. I don't think there's anything more boring and superficial, and it just lacks interest for me than a thin religious experience with God. I said superficial. We'll just go with that. I don't think anything's more boring than living with God superficially or less satisfying. Are you gods? So we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And pastor, the thing that you know, it's to do good works. And when you're doing pastoral leadership and care and living in community, we're always seeking to discern it, aren't we? You know, what is it? Who has God created us to be? What's this mean? So I just want to talk about some of the obstacles that we have. But I want you to be thinking about you as an individual right now. Sometimes what happens, I'll say oftentimes what happens, when we don't live in to this fullness of who God's created us to be. Sometimes it's because we feel like we just don't fit. We just don't fit. Hey, anyone here, you don't have to say it, just answer this inside. You ever feel like you just don't really fit a church community? Anybody? Anybody, have you ever felt like you just don't really fit as a pastor? Yeah, me too. I'm the identified religious bureaucrat now, too, you know, and I just think, how did this happen? You feel like you just don't fit. I'm going to talk about some people that I've known, and so just bear with me. And there's two sides of not fitting, and then with that, I'll say somehow not measuring up, because there's this idea if you're going to be doing good works and such, you got to fit, and then you got to measure up. And then there's the things that are just plain hard in life and how you make this contribution when all this stuff's happening. So I want to tell you about my friend Sloco. And so Sloco was unlike anybody, I will guarantee you, that you've ever known. And Sloco was a guy that I became friends with in the early 90s. So here's the thing about Sloco. You never knew anybody like him, and you've never heard anybody say about their friend what I am going to say about my friend, my dear friend Sloco. He was born prehistoric. Now, what's that mean? It means he was, Sloco is Eskimo, and he was born on St. Lawrence Island, which is part of Alaska, but it's between mainland Alaska and Siberia. And the part of St. Lawrence Island that he was raised in, there just hadn't been interaction with the outside world. And when people think of Eskimos, they think of them living in igloos. Actually, Eskimos in Alaska never lived in igloos. That's Canada and Greenland. Eskimos in Alaska lived under the ground and then with thatched roofs. So Sloco was born in the ground and born primitive, born without written language, born living the way people had lived in that part of the world thousands and thousands of years before, born prehistoric. Now, some of us who are parents, grandparents, your teens, your young adults, you recognize that there is challenge living into the most rapidly changing society in the history of the world is what we're experiencing right now. Now, how about this? How about if you're born prehistoric and then you intersect this? So the challenges for my friend Sloco were many. But I got to tell you, there was a huge challenge that it would be something a person from California wouldn't be aware of. It was that he was the wrong kind of Eskimo. Because Eskimos, there are many different kinds of Eskimos. Inuit, if you've heard of an Eskimo group, that's likely the one you've heard of is Inuit. Then there's Inupiaq, Yupik. Most Eskimos in Alaska are Yupik. There's Chupik. And he was one of a small, small group remaining, Siberian Yupik. He spoke a dialect that no one else spoke. Now, I want to tell you, Sloco was some kind of great mind because he was able to learn Yupik and he was able to learn English to a good extent. And he was able to navigate this changing world. But he was always an outsider. He always seemed strange wherever he went. One thing amongst Eskimos are Eskimos on a Myers-Briggs, 99% are introverts. You know, that kind of happens when you're living 70 degrees below zero. You know, you tend to be quiet, you know. Sloco, I don't know how this happened, was a raging extrovert. And he and I hit it off. I didn't fit. I've always not fit for some reason. I was asked to lead Covenant Church Ministries in Alaska when I was in my mid-30s. I was too young. This time, I've been a pastor in Oakland for a while before this season. But this time, being asked to lead Covenant Churches in this part of our country, they thought I was too old. I've always been too fat. I've carried that with me my whole life. There's always something. So here I was, and I was born and raised in Los Altos, over on the peninsula. And can I tell you, this is where the nerd was invented over there in Los Altos, and where the wimp was invented. I went to the same high school as Steve Jobs. And younger, if you're younger, go to the museum. Maybe they'll have these. What nerds had then were slide rules. Okay, they had these things called slide rules. Well, just bear with me. This isn't exactly over in the soft life of Los Altos training to live in the Arctic. Will you give me that? And so I didn't quite fit. And I meet Sloco, and he doesn't quite fit. And so here's the question. We're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. But we don't quite fit. And what I want to say about you is that you likely think there's something that makes you not quite fit. Something's wrong with a relationship. You know, don't quite fit. You're not the perfect parent. Well, you don't quite fit. You have a real consistency problem. Don't quite fit. You're too old to be of any use. Don't fit. Too young. You don't quite fit. Sloco. And the extrovert, by the way, he stayed in our home. He would come in to, we lived in a place called Eagle River just outside of Anchorage. And he would come and he stayed with us more than anyone else when we were in Alaska. My kids grew up thinking he was their grandfather and they called him Grandpa Slowpoke. And I can just tell you wild stories about him. But, you know, he'd love to go to the zoo. There's a small zoo in Anchorage. And where are the Pauls? Paul, come on up here. Give me the other Paul. Okay. There was another Paul. Oh, yeah. Come on up here. Run up here. Okay. But the thing is, I discovered these guys before the service. We got three Pauls. We got three Pauls. We're all from the Pepsi generation. It's been years since any of us has been cool, right? Can this be self-aware this time? Brother, I don't cool when I see it.
All cool. Glad to meet you.
Okay, well, you just keep living there. So, especially after doing what I'm going to have you do.
His last name is Cool.
It is Cool.
Yeah.
See, I don't fit. I'm not a prophet. Okay. Dude, raised Catholic, right?
Sunnyvale.
Catholic, Sunnyvale?
St. Francis High.
St. Francis High, okay, gotcha. What congregation?
Catholic.
No, I know, but which parish?
St. Cyprian.
Okay.
Sunnyvale.
Very good, all right. So here, you guys, but besides this, you're going to be, so you just go like this, ooh, 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 okay? Ooh, yeah, no, come on.
I do that naturally.
Yeah, ooh, okay. So Sloco, we go to the zoo, and so this is Sloco. You're in the cages, do your thing, and he goes, ooh, 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 ooh. Now, the thing about Eskimo humor, now he thinks this is really funny. But, you know, when the sun goes down, like in the beginning of October and doesn't come up till March, you know, that's a sort of a slow kind of deal there. And so for our humor, we go bang, 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 you know, with punchlines and all the rest. It's very slow developing. So he goes in front of the cage. Okay, guys, you're back and roll. Ooh, 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 ooh. And so he does this, not for 5 minutes, not for 10 minutes. But, you know, after that, the guy who runs the zoo comes and gets the assistance because they don't know what's going on. But this is slow developing Eskimo humor. You just let this go. So, ooh, 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 ooh. And they're asking him, sir, can I help you? Ooh, 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 ooh. And he says nothing to him. He just goes, ooh, ooh, ooh. And then finally a woman comes, said, sir, you know, are you okay? And I'm just dying of laughter. My boys, they're going up, you know, they go around Grandpa Slowpoke, and now they're dancing, and so they, you know, just wondering. And then he finally says, these are my relatives from St. Lawrence Island. Okay, ooh, 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 ooh. These are my relatives from St. Lawrence Island. It's family reunion. Either let them out or let me in. Okay, that's it. Paul, you're cool. I've learned. So this guy doesn't quite fit. He's doing things like that. And so he heard God calling him to be a pastor. And let me just say, it was rough. The other thing is, by the time I met Sloco, he was 70 years old. And it seems strange, the two of us. Me, mid-30s guy from California, with his buddy, Siberian Yupik Sloco. Not fitting is painful. So, let me think of someone else. A young man I know, my favorite thing is helping others become who God's created them to be. The only thing that's more fun for me than that is helping a community of people. And so I kind of realized by the time I was in my 20s, that's why I was on the planet. And so I'm always coaching people. And there's a young man that I've coached for a long time. So here's what's interesting. I coach some people who have some notoriety, and I coach people who are young. Who are kids. And I have, most recently, I was pastor for 12 years in Oakland. And in Oakland, congregation freed me up to coach. And, you know, if you were to look at our church, was a white church that transitioned. And then now, today, there's 20 different first languages. in that church. By the way, you know the people who really love my preaching in Oakland? The ones who don't speak English. They love it. No problem with it. But if you were to look at our staff, was multi-ethnic. I'm the one that looks like the Pillsbury Doughboy, but I'm the one who works with gang kids and all the rest. And this young man I'm thinking of is not a gang kid at all. But it is hard to be young growing up right now. I just want to say, if you're more in the age group of the three Pauls, you know, when we were younger, and you know, I went to college, and you know, you could study whatever you wanted, art history, you know, you do whatever you wanted. You get out, and there's a lot of jobs. It's really tough right now. And so just as an aside, we need to do everything we can to prepare and help our young people. I'm pretty passionate about this. So this young man, I've coached and have done a lot of assessments. I have a good sense of who he is. And I'm going to tell you something I haven't told him. He scores in the bottom 5% academically. And I've been able to go back and look at his academic records growing up from the time he was young. He scored bottom 5%. Now, that's tough. That's tough. He's dyslexic, and beyond that, just some real challenges. And I have to tell you, I've been concerned for him because he's a young man, he's married, has a baby, lives in LA, and rents are getting so high that, you know, $1,500 seems like a lot to pay for me for rent. But if you rent an apartment for $1,500 now in LA, it's not going to be a safe neighborhood for $1,500. So this is, it's just tough. I'm just describing one person with real obstacles and for whom that God has prepared the way in advance is true and for whom he is God's workmanship. And by the way, he is God's. He's got that part clear. So I want you to be thinking about yourself. What are the obstacles? What are the things inside of you that don't quite fit? What are the things that you would change? Another young guy. This will just be this week. I have told young people, and I've told other people, that if you're out of work, I will help you find a job. I will work with you. I really like doing this. And so I've done this as a pastor for forever in the job thing. And it's different if you're coaching people for, you know, some of the professions or, you know, if in this case, this is a high school kid in Oakland where there aren't many jobs. And, you know, the economy's still not doing too well in that area. Not many jobs. But let me just tell you something else. This kid has had a tough time. One, he's shorter than everybody else his age. He's 18 years old. Shorter, always been the shortest kid in every class picture. That's just hard sometimes, if I think, for someone. So I'll just say that. Earlier this year, he was in the back seat of a car, and it was just low-skill driving by his friend, and they were in a terrible accident, and this young man was injured pretty severely. Actually, the first thing they said to his parents was that he wasn't going to survive. Lost a lot of blood, just to say that's traumatic for a young person. Few months ago, he's skateboarding near Lake Merritt in Oakland, and a tree branch falls on a kid, a 16-year-old, and instantly kills the kid, and this young man performed CPR for 15 minutes till the paramedics came. And you know, I won't go into detail, but very, very traumatic. It was a very bad scene. Then school hasn't been that great for him. It's just been tough. But here's the thing: he wants to go to college, and he just wants to have self-esteem of having employment. And so I meet with him this week, and he says, you know, I've applied to over 20 places, I've applied to over 20 places, and I've gotten one no after no after no. And then, here's the thing about each one of us. We all are living a story that we construct in our heads. Do you know this? Whether you're doing this intentionally or not, you have a way you understand your story. And in his story, nothing goes right for him. It's pretty hard when you have a kid saying these things have been tough, and then also just to say he's raised and he lives in a house with mental illness. And having that your whole life, where another member that of serious mental illness, that is tough. That is tough. Tough thing. So he says, you know, it's just not working. I'm doing the applications. I'm doing what you said to go and meet people. So, okay, we'll leave it there. I'll give you one more. I'll give you a pastor, okay? A pastor that I know well. So you're a pastor, and you teach God's word, and people are looking at you to bring life and good things. But here's the reality. With the exception of the pastor of the Covenant Church in Rockland, California, the rest of us have issues. And so this pastor has a son with schizophrenia. And this pastor and the pastor's wife have cried themselves to sleep more than you can imagine. And so this is like 4 years ago. The way the pastor describes it is he was in Macy's and he was talking to someone trying on a shirt, and he gets a call from the son. And the son, who at this point is like 19 years old, says, "Dad, I committed a crime, and I've just been arrested." And it was a serious crime. And the pastor just melts in Macy's and is wondering, how can I even live through these days with knowing what my son's done? How is my church going to be able to handle this? Because it's probably going to be in the news. Do you get this? So here's the thing. We are God's workmanship. God has prepared the way in advance for us to do good works. And he's prepared this in advance. And I just got to tell you, I'm here to give you testimony. I have seen him do it. I have seen him do it. I said that God is far more active than most believers believe. And if I can encourage you, it is just to trust God like you've never trusted him before. And something that believers, see, I'm with probably more churches and more leaders and more coaching things than you can imagine. I've dedicated myself in the last 18 months to seek to figure out what's going on in churches and in different kinds of ministries in the Pacific Southwest, so that maybe I'm the person who's been in more context in Covenant churches and outside as much as anyone to learn what's going on. Here's what I can tell you. It's something you know. It is a lot tougher to make disciples than it was a couple decades ago. Is that true? Most people in most places, that's an understatement, are telling us it's always been an uphill thing, growing disciples, doing the work of God. But most people in most places are telling us that incline has gotten steeper, steeper. And so I'm going to say this is the time to believe. Trust God. He's prepared the way in advance. Trust God. We are his workmanship. Now, have some insight. God has always used imperfect people with obstacles. Always. Now, The thing to do is to put your hand in the hand of God's and go forward. So my friend Sloko, Siberian Yupik, too old. They made him retire as a pastor. He had a vision. And his vision and this deep call that he couldn't shake on his life sounded crazy. It became legal to preach the gospel of Jesus in the early 90s in Siberia, right? With the fall of the Soviet Union. It became legal. See, up to that point, you couldn't do it. He had in his heart this guy who didn't fit, wrong kind of Eskimo, this guy who was an extrovert, this guy who was now way too old. He believed God called him to bring the gospel to his cousins who he never met. You heard of his Siberian Yupik Eskimo? See, this guy who didn't fit was the perfectly prepared person to introduce Jesus to Siberian Yupik Eskimos. And the book has not been written. But if the question was ever asked, why are there now churches in Siberian Yupik Eskimo villages? Why are there now crosses in the graveyards? Why are there people gathering in homes, singing hymns to a savior? Why are there all these Bibles in Siberian Yupik being read that, by the way, a Wycliffe translator who was on a fool's journey was translating scripture in the Siberian Yupik, and how was it ever even going to get over there? The answer is because God used the guy who didn't fit Sloko, who was too old, the wrong kind of Eskimo, and he went by walrus skin boat from village to village and dog team and whatever else he could find. Give God thanks. So the 24-year-old who scores low, the 24-year-old with the figure out how he's going to care for his wife and baby, he has learned the power of putting one foot in front of the other. I got to tell you, there wasn't any college in America he could get in, but you know who did accept him? The U.S. Marines. He went into the Marines, and he excelled. Marines promote slower, but within 4 years, he was a sergeant. And then, in coaching, what are you going to do next? I just said, what are your dreams? And so you talk back and forth. You know, you're not going to be an English professor. Do you believe you can do anything you set your mind to? You can't. You can't. If you could, I'd be playing baseball for the Oakland A's. I would. I'd love to be a professional baseball player. No, you can't. I mean, you got to figure out who God's created you to be. You know, right? Isn't that right? So we got to make sure. But here is something we know. We know that people have far more capacity to grow than we've ever thought before. We know this. There is a lot of research. We know that this is a not exactly the right way of saying it, but when people learn, their brains grow. We know that into your 70s and 80s, if you learn new skills, it might be fly fishing, it might be quilting, other parts of your brain continue to be alive, keeps memory going. We know that people who are in their 60s and 70s can be at their maximum place of contribution. We know that kids have far more capacity to grow than they thought. We know that those who say they're no good at math, actually everybody can learn math. See, we know that. But what they have to do is keep at it. This young man was able to keep at it. So I asked him, where would you like to work? What would be your dream? What would you like to be? What part of mission? I said, dream big. And so one of the things I said, well, just think about, you know, when you're dreaming, dream about what are the greatest things human beings are trying to do right now. And he said, well, going to Mars. Okay, remember he's in the bottom 5%. Well, did you know that there is a company right now that is planning not only manned mission, womaned mission to Mars, but the colonization of Mars? It's called SpaceX. SpaceX is able to, NASA doesn't have ability to put satellites up. SpaceX can put satellites up for a tenth the cost of NASA. SpaceX will do 25 launches this year, and they have now succeeded in putting a rocket into space and coming down and landing. So I don't know if you know this. So he said, I'd like to work for SpaceX. So I just want to tell you that for the last 2 months, the 24-year-old who scores in the bottom 5%, if there's anybody that I know that doesn't have a right to interview for SpaceX, it's this young man. Part of the interview, they said, what do you think you can bring? And he said, well, you know, this is a new company with new dreams. I've been a part of a group that's been on mission for over 200 years, the United States Marines. And if you're going to Mars, I think you need some Marines. I really like this next one, I'm going to tell you. So the kid, I told the kid, this was Wednesday, the 18-year-old who's just feeling everything's going wrong, I told him, you go back in person to every place you've gone. And so here's my experience. I've got people who will do what I say, young people. And I want you to think about this, adults. This could be a great ministry for someone. We got 100% job placement, people who will do what I say. Young people, it'd be great if there was an adult who would get excited about this. But I said, you go back. And he said, well, you know, they want a resume. So I said, well, we'll put together a resume. Well, I've never had a job. I said, don't worry. We'll put together a resume. And the resume has on it service. Well, he's helped out at church. Actually, he's been the person who cares for a Down syndrome child in the church. We're putting that there. And then how about this? Lessons I've learned. We've got that section. Why I want to be work for you. And he put down things he wants to learn. He wants to learn what it means to be a hard worker. He wants to learn what it means to make other people successful. You put all this down, he went. First place he went, they saw this resume. They hired him. He texted me last night. You know this kid, I mean, this seems like a lot. Do you know that what they're paying this kid? He's working in a bakery. $12.50 an hour. I thought that was a lot. I don't know what minimum wage is or anything anymore, but that sounded like a lot. $12.50 an hour. And he wrote me, and you know, then we did the little bit of training on how you work with customers and all. And said manager says the best person we've ever had here. First 2 days. You want this kid Wednesday is talking about devastation. Now he is God's workmanship, but you see, had to go through the pain and all the stuff of rejection, of keep moving forward in the messiness of life. And the pastor, with the shame, with the schizophrenic son, how does he go forward in ministry? You're listening to him right now. That's me. And I'll tell you, Life has its challenges, but I had no idea how good God was. And I will tell you, God continues to work miracles. And I will tell you, people and communities are far more reachable than most believers believe. And you become all who God's created you to be. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. For what purpose? To do good works. And the good works you do, each one of us, they're different, which God has prepared in advance for you to do. I get excited about one person who lives into that. I've seen enough. I've gotten the work with lots of cultures and lots of places and lots of income levels. I get really excited about one person who does it, who gives in. But nothing near the excitement of a community of people, of a church people. And I just have a sense, God has called you, he's given you a great honor, hasn't he? Be with these people in this season. I'm saying go for it. Make sure as a church you are always pursuing something impossible that only God could do. Make sure that you are doing that. I believe I am Mr. Planning here, okay? I am a planner. I like reasonable plans, but make sure you are always pursuing. There is absolutely no way you can get there unless God is doing it, because that is going to force you to recognize your own brokenness, and it's going to put you on your knees where we need to be. Hey, it's an honor to be with you. God bless you all.